We started last week a new teaching series, teaching what I'm calling great stories of the Bible. We won't take the time to go there, but there's a scripture that talks about, I believe it's in the book of Hebrews, that said the things written in the Old Testament, these things were written for our edification or for our learning. In other words, all the stories, King David, Joseph, all these different ones that over the next few weeks, we're going to look at some of these things, they're written down not just to be a bedtime story, but to teach us things about God, to teach us things about walking with God, to bring us truths that we can bring to our lives. There's not just stories. I've heard it said this way, what the Old Testament contains, the New Testament explains. So many of what we might call the teachings of the New Testament or the doctrines of the New Testament are explained in the New Testament, but there are examples of them working out in the Old Testament. The Bible's a growing revelation, and God, as he dealt with mankind through the ages, revealed a little more, a little more, a little more, a little more. Jesus was quite the revelation as he came. You might even think of it this way, there's more to come. The last book of the Bible is called The Revelation of Jesus Christ. We shorten it to Revelations, but it is titled The Revelation of Jesus Christ. So it's things we know and things we will yet learn. So going through these stories is the basis and the foundation. And all of us here, teachers and preachers, like, you remember when? And then for a lot of folks, and this is no critique of you, it's just if you didn't have opportunity to learn these stories, you didn't. I grew up in Sunday school. I knew so many of these things, you know. My wife didn't. When a preacher mentions, you remember when Elisha, and for a lot of folks it's, who's Elisha? And he did what? And a preacher trying to be brief, yeah, imagine that. A preacher trying to be brief just references it and doesn't take you and tell you the whole story. And so if you do that all the time, the stories are never told, the principles are never explained, and then there's holes in what we're taught. And some of the foundation stones that need to be in our learning as a believer, right? So, Genesis 1:1. For this week, last week, and probably next week at least, we're just talking about creation. If you're going to tell stories of the Bible, that's a pretty important one, right? Where did we all start? How did it all start? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And this is what we talked about last week, mostly in the beginning. We talked about that. What is that, the beginning? So we know that in the beginning, God created. And we spent some time with, well, when was the beginning? How long ago was the beginning? And I contend no one knows when exactly the beginning was. In the beginning, God was there, but no one else. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So when was that? We kind of explored this a little bit. We are what I'm going to call strictly earthbound. What does that mean? That means the whole basis of our experience, knowledge, our frame of mind, our point of reference relates to things as understood here on earth. Elsewhere, it would be different. So when we talk about years or days, we think 24 hours, sunrise to sunrise, right? Or one rotation of the earth. We think of a year and it's one orbit around the sun. And even at that, we discovered last week, the earth is slightly slowing down every year, and a year is little more than 365 days. How many years ago? Well, we would probably only understand it in years as counted on earth. Just trying to remember now, but if you counted a year on the planet closest to the sun, that would only be 87 Earth days. And on Pluto, furthest from the sun, a year, one orbit around, is, I'm going to try to remember, 284 Earth years, something like that, right? So what is a year? Well, we have a concept of a year here on Earth. And this is what I mean by earthbound. Our understanding is strictly earthbound. So when God talks to us, he is not earthbound. And we sure are. And I think most of the time when he says things, you know, understanding that, he talks to us in a way that we understand. But for instance, when the Lord says a day, and starting next week, we're going to talk about 6 days of creation. The Lord created the earth in 6 days. Well, whose days? Days as measured by what? And as we look at that, you'll see the first thing when we get to it, verse 3, the first thing he did was separate light from darkness, and the evening and the morning was the first day. Well, it talks about the sun and the moon later in the creation process. So what kind of a day was he talking about that he separated light from darkness in a day? And so to say, well, God created the earth in 6 days, as in if he started right now, he'd be finished this coming Saturday. That's the way we see 6 days. And I just submit to you, it might not be what the Bible's talking about. I'm not going to say it's strictly this or it's strictly that, because I'm earthbound. I don't know for sure. And I believe that no one does. There is a scripture that says, with the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. Which basically says, his time base is different from ours. He's eternal, and he's ageless. What is that? How is that? The little bit of science that we might know suggests this. Einstein, he talked about the relationship of time and speed, the speed of light. And so it's postulated that if you go faster than the speed of light, you go backwards in time. If you go slower or somehow get in a realm that slows things down, time would move slowly. Sometimes it feels like that, doesn't it? But anyway, an experimentation has been done. A spacecraft carrying an extremely precise timepiece on board and a matching identical timepiece on Earth. They're set exactly the same. Spacecraft takes off, orbits the Earth a while, comes back, and they compare the timepieces, and the one that went to space reads differently than the one that was here on Earth. So something about moving quickly through space changes time. I heard somebody say it this way, if I can quote it right. Time is what God invented so that everything doesn't happen at once. If you were God, and for you, you could see everything into the past and everything into the future, that would be everything at once. That would be eternal. That would be ageless. From his perspective, he can see the beginning, he can see the end. The scriptures say he declares the end from the beginning. So, I don't know, I'm earthbound. But I grasp at this kind of like this. God is fast. So fast, he can be at the beginning and at the end at the same time. And time is a servant to us so that everything doesn't happen at once. You have a span where you're born and one day graduate to heaven. In between, there's time that you get to enjoy. I'm enjoying some days with my grandson, Ashton. And so I'm appreciating these days, this time, right? Yeah, that's good. But we are earthbound in our understanding of these things. So just know, when God's declaring to us the things that he did in the scriptures, he's not earthbound. And it may be a little bit different than what we understand or can perceive. So 6 days of creation, was it done in 6 days? Well, it was done in 6 days by God's perspective. Is that different from mine? It could be. It could be very different. God is God. He doesn't have to explain himself on everything. Anybody in here a parent and you have kids that would say, why? And you tell them, well, why? Well, why that? And it's endless, right? And don't you finally just say, just do what I say. Right? So, you know, God might be like that. He doesn't endlessly explain himself. So, yeah, thank God, Pastor Sandy says. Thank God he doesn't. Well, why? And really, think about that. For mankind to assert himself that if he doesn't understand it, it's not true. How prideful is that? Well, if I don't understand it, it can't be. Or if we can't explain it, it's not right. Or you know, no. No, no. One scripture says, what is man that you are mindful of him? man is so tiny in things. So when was that? We're strictly earthbound in our understanding on some of these and in our perspective. Let me give you one other way to illustrate that. A couple of things. My parents tell me that in my ancestry, I'm Dutch. But by culture, I'm American. And I got no clue about what it is to be Dutch in terms of being in Holland, right? I dropped into Amsterdam and then on to Africa one time, but that's it. That was my couple hours in Holland. So I'm completely of an American understanding, not a Dutch understanding. So my whole world's interpreted with an American mind. And if you'll permit me, I'll just take the same trip further. Went to Nigeria, was in Africa for a week and a half or so. I realized that by blood there are African Americans here, but the culture is so different. An African African is a completely different person from an African American. If you're African American, I would encourage you, believe God to one day visit Africa. And you'll see it's a different thing. And I don't mean that negatively, I mean that good. Some of the happiest people I ever saw were the Christians in Nigeria. They have far less than we have, but they were far happier on the whole. So anyway, so we're bound by our perspective is the whole point. And it's true in culture, it's true by race, it's true in many different ways. It's not a negative thing, it's not a slam, it just is. We just have perspectives. And I don't even need to mention male and female, the perspectives that are different. Our understanding of time is as it exists strictly in cycles on earth. And so everything we're going to see in creation, we understand only in earth days and earth years. God doesn't understand it the same way. So, now let's go from verse 1 to verse 2. Genesis 1:2. It says, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." Verse 2 is a snapshot. You know, we like to watch videos, but you can just pull out one snap out of a video. Video would show you processes and changes and things as they happen. Snapshot is a moment in time. And it relates how things were at that moment. Verse 2 is a snapshot. There was a time when there was an earth, and it was without form, and it was void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now, look down to verse 31 so I can quickly surmise something here. In verse 31, it says, "Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good." The phrase, "it was good," occurs several times between verses 3 and 31 that you're looking at there. God would create whatever it is, and he would see that it is good several times. And here it surmises at the end, "and he saw that it was very good." To look up that word "good" is talking about having a clear moral order. It's very orderly. Everything is arranged as it should be. Something very good is operating as it should. It's of high character and quality and so on. So God was very pleased with everything he made. And several times before, as I mentioned, it says God saw that it was good. So I'm going to make a statement here. If God makes it, it's good. If God creates it, it is in perfect order. It is functioning properly. It is as it should be. It is of good quality. If God makes it, it's good. You ever hear people say, "Well, God made me, and God don't make no junk." Right? So God made everything, and God makes it good. Well, then, what is this in verse 2? Let's go back to verse 2. This snapshot, The earth was without form and void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Notice the earth already exists. And it says here it's without form and void. Now verse 3, just for context, let's go there for a second. Verse 3 begins the six-day process that we're familiar with. It says in verse 3, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day. The darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Now let's think about something here. Why, in between verses 1 and 3, why is verse 2 there? I'm not talking about numbers. You got to number them as they come. But in the beginning, God created. And if God created, we've agreed, it was good. Verse 3 begins the six-day process we're familiar with of creating. And the first thing he does is separate light from darkness. Let there be light. But in between, we have a snapshot of earth without form and void. Now we need to know a little more about what without form and without and void, what it is. Notice in verse 2 again, there was darkness on the face of the deep. Now we're talking about earth here. So the deep would be on earth. And darkness was covering the deep. Now the word deep usually refers to deep waters. But I looked this up. It's not limited to deep waters. It also can mean deep pit, deep hole, a void, something that you could fall into, right? So though we usually say the deep, meaning waters, it's not limited to that. And we're not going there right now, but you'll recall later on in the creation days, it talks about God gathering the waters and separating the waters from dry land. And that's the creation of oceans on the earth. This is before that. So this could be a reference to a great big hole. And darkness filled that hole and covered that hole, and it was on the earth. At the same time, in this same snapshot, the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The waters where God was hovering over might not have been in the hole. These are two separate locations, both associated with the earth. God was present and around, but darkness was covering the deep. I suppose this, not fully explained, probably was over the entire earth. A darkness covered it. Verse 3 tells us, God says, let there be light, right? The first thing God does is separate light from darkness. Now think about this. In the beginning, God created, and everything was good. Then we have a snapshot where there's darkness on earth. Well, where did that come from? What's that about? And further, it says, without form and void. Well, that don't sound good. And the very first thing God's got to do is get some light into darkness. What happened? What's going on here? The earth had a covering of darkness in this snapshot. After the beginning, after the creation, but before the 6 days that we're going to see. Again, verse 3. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light, it was good. God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Notice here, well, if you'll recall, I cannot take a lot of time to do all this at once, but the sun and the moon are placed at a later day. And our understanding of day and night is one rotation of the earth, sun comes up, sun goes down, right? That's put in order after God separates light from darkness and after he already declares the first day. So it's days according to his perspective, not according to one rotation of earth. I think you could see that, right? At least that's the possibility. My mind is open to that possibility. So, the first thing God needed to do on earth when it was in this state is separate light from darkness. Let's go back to verse 2 again. I know I'm going back and forth here a little bit, but I'm just trying to lay the foundation for making a couple of statements here that you might not have heard before. Maybe you have. But we're looking for what would the Lord have us to know about the creation story. Now, I grew up hearing the creation story all my life, right? And I think people have told it many times from their perspective, not necessarily the Bible's perspective or God's perspective. I'm spending time trying to establish that a day might not have been an earth day. Because for most Christians, an earth day, no, it's an earth day. And God created it in 6 days. And the earth is 6,000 years old, that's it. If forced into that corner, then you have these fusses between folks who consider themselves scientists and those who consider themselves creationists. And we think we have a big fight. When really, that may be totally unnecessary. Amen. So, again, verse 2, the earth was without form and void. Without form and void. Well, when was the earth made? Created in the beginning. But now we have it without form and void. Form, the word form, it says without form, didn't have form. In Hebrew, it's tohu, T-O-H-U. There's going to be two words that rhyme, so they're easy to remember. Tohu and bohu. But it's a Hebrew word, tohu. And I'm trying not to get deep and technical, but yet everybody needs a basic understanding of some of these things. Without form, tohu, in Hebrew, here's the definition of the word. Chaos. Confusion. Unreality. Desolation and emptiness. Now think about it. God creates earth, and all that he creates is good. Then here's a snapshot, and the earth has chaos, desolation, unreality, emptiness, and confusion. None of that sounds anything like God. Would you agree? The earth had a time when it was chaos, confusion, unreality, desolation, and emptiness. Did God create that? No. Then how about the word void that we have? The earth was without form and void. That's the word bohu, B-O-H-U. What does it mean? It means empty or total chaos. To describe that, it means this, that it's a physical state of a total lack of order. Everything with God is completely ordered, right? Completely ordered. The harmony in the universe of how things work and so on is completely ordered. Obviously, it's the fingerprint of God. Yet, there was a time here where the earth, as it already exists, was already created. A snapshot here that says there was a time when it was total chaos, desolation, emptiness. Did God create that? No, he did not. So in the beginning, God created earth and everything that we see, everything that is. Then we have a snapshot when the earth is in total chaos. What happened? Verse 3 is the reversal of darkness, chaos, and so on. Let there be light, and there was light, and God separated the darkness from the light, right? I believe what we're looking at here is, in the beginning, God created earth, the heavens, and so on, perfect order. Something happened on earth. Something happened to earth. And darkness came. Chaos came. Desolation and emptiness came on the earth. And the first thing God needed to do was to release light on the earth. Another way of saying that, you know, things make sense to us when we shine the light on them. You can see your way through and around, right? In darkness, you're confused. Can feel like total chaos here. A few weeks back, we were having staff prayer in the meeting room here, and right behind it is a tool room, and behind that's a storage over there on this side of the building. And my dad was out doing some things and came in through that tool room, and he was going to come in the room here, but closed the door behind him, and it's totally dark in that room. So he got a little disoriented there. And there is a prayer room, there's a door into the prayer room that's kept locked. And we hear him fumbling with the lock and pushing on it and, you know, trying to figure it out and so on. And we're like, what? What is going on? I'm starting to wonder, did he get too hot and he's disoriented or what's going on? So I went to check on my dad. I opened the door and turned on the light, and there he's standing. Oh, it's over there. He just couldn't see. Just couldn't see. So we got a little bit of a chuckle out of that one, you know. But it's chaos with darkness, right? So the first thing God has to do on earth is say, let there be light. I'll just go ahead and make a statement now. I submit to you, and I think there's abundant evidence here, that the Genesis account of 6 days of creation are an account of a recreation, a reordering on an earth previously in order, previously existing for a time base of how long, we don't know. That was in the beginning. Something happened on earth. Something brought desolation, chaos, and so on. And when we start verse 3, God says, let there be light, he is setting in order again things disrupted. Amen. If that is the case, if that's true, that explains why we find scientific evidence, fossils and whatever, the earth is thousands of years, millions of years old even, and yet we have an account of Adam, say, 6,000 years ago, and some of these things. And so to look at geological evidence and so on and compare that to the scriptures, folks sometimes come to the conclusion, well, the earth can only be 6,000 years old because God created it. And that's when in the beginning, verse 1 says, verse 3 may not be in the beginning. In plain terms, if you run across these things, people will call this the gap theory. What does that mean? In between verse 1 and verse 3, there's a gap of time. And verse 2 explains what it was like during that time, that gap. The earth was in chaos. So, God declares or creates Adam, mankind, as we understand him today, some days later, right? So this whole creation process, I submit to you, Adam was not placed on the earth first, ahead of everyone else or everything else. And I may be really bending your mind a little bit, and we'll have to get to that. But I believe we're seeing the recreation process on the earth in the account of 6 days. Some of it doesn't make sense any other way. To create light and separate it from darkness, and then later create the sun, moon, and the stars. And we know that that's where the physical light comes from. So it doesn't make sense any other way. So what happened on earth? What brought chaos? What brought darkness? Turn with me to Luke chapter 10 and verse 18. You can explore further. There's lots more scripture on this. But Jesus said something when he was on the earth here. And he said it in the past tense. He said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Now we have a number of scriptures that would teach us about what happened in heaven, that Lucifer, Satan, led a rebellion against God. And rebellion can have no place. A rebellion against God can have no place in heaven. And he was cast out of the presence of God. He was cast away from God. This is what Jesus is referring to. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. So he fell from heaven. Where did he fall to? Can you think of a pit? A hole? And where he goes, darkness goes with him? Darkness was covering the face of the deep. Go to Isaiah chapter 14. Now, I certainly will probably raise more questions than answer today, and that's okay. You can dig some of these things out yourself. But if we're going to talk about great stories of the Bible and make sure that we have foundation stones that people can build, we just need to understand the basic concept that God created and God created everything good. And we are not backed into a corner of explaining how the earth was created only 6,000 years ago and God did it in 6 days. Actually, when God does something, he creates the process by which it works. It says he rested the seventh day. So everything's working the way he set it up, right? It continues to this day. But say, for instance, when people say, well, God gave us a child. Well, he does. Yet on the other hand, we understand the process of producing children. Man and a woman, right? Are there people who've engaged in the process that left God out of the whole thing? Yet a child is born, a spirit is given. Who's responsible here? I mean, there's one young lady who could say, I was minding my own business and boom, look what happened. Right? There's one. One young lady who can say that. How'd that happen? Well, the Holy Ghost overshadowed her, right? But for all the rest, the claim of an immaculate conception just somehow doesn't work out. So what I'm saying is God throughout the universe has created these processes, and they're working, including producing children and bearing children. Now, I do believe God gives the Spirit. He gives the personality, the spirit, the soul to each individual, but that body was made by a man and a woman by a process created by God. See what I'm saying? So there are things on the earth. Evolution. Is there such a thing as evolution? Absolutely. Farmers participate in it all the time in selecting and breeding seeds to have certain traits and so on. And animals, you know, you do the same thing with your cattle herd and your horse herd. You pick which parents to use to bring out the best traits. They call it natural selection out in nature, right? The strongest ones are the ones that reproduce and all that kind of thing. And over time, horses change, cattle change. But what some want to say, to take God out of it, single cell turns into a fish, turns into a frog, turns into, I don't know what, a bird turns into something, turns into a monkey, turns into a man. Here's a plain word, bull. Right? We're in the deep now, yeah. Yeah. Over time, animals and so on, trees, if things do change, yes. But there's a reason they haven't found examples of a cat turning into a dog. And we'll see when we get there, next week or whenever, God put in everything, in its seed, the ability to produce, and then there's a phrase used repeatedly, after its own kind. Amen. So we don't have changes from cat to dog and, you know, all of that kind of thing. So evolution, yes. Now some will phrase it this way, microevolution. Do I believe in evolution? Yes. What they call microevolution over time. For instance, if you are, anybody in here an antiquer? If you go find chairs from pre-Civil War, they're shorter. Because the American population was shorter 100 years ago on average, something's changing. We're also heavier, but yeah. But it used to be shorter. So over time, the population is changing that way. So microevolution, yes. What am I saying? I'm saying that in the beginning, God put things in order, and there are processes working to this day. Right? And those processes are, in fact, operating. Did I have you turn to Isaiah? Yeah. Okay. We're talking about Satan fell, right? Like lightning from heaven. Well, where did he fall to? Isaiah 14:12. It says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground." Okay, is there ground in heaven? Well, I looked up the word to find out what's talking about here. And it is clearly a word for the earth. The world. The earth. In the dictionary, it said the surface where we stand. So he was cast down from heaven to earth. Then it goes on here, some interesting things. It says, "You who weakened the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north." He's trying to take God's place. This is why he was cast out of heaven and why I'm adding it here so you can see this. Verse 14, this is still Lucifer talking. "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Verse 15, "Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol," which is a word for the grave. And then look at this, "to the lowest depths of the pit." Remember I told you darkness hovered over the face of the deep, and it is a word that can be used for a deep pit. Verse 16, "Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook the kingdoms?" Verse 17, "who made the world a wilderness?" And that word wilderness there is defined as a wasteland, barren wilderness, empty of habitation. It says next, "and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners." Now there's some clues here. If you're open-minded, you can consider this. Lucifer was cast to the earth, and he made the earth shake and tremble. And it says here, he shook kingdoms. Now, when we read kingdoms, we think of people organized in countries or kingdoms, right? It says here, destroyed its cities. This is possible evidence, I'll just leave it at that, possible evidence of habitation on the earth before Adam. That there was an order created on the earth and beings dwelt upon the earth, animal, human-like, I don't know. But someone who was organized in kingdoms and cities, and Lucifer was cast to the ground and he destroyed everything. In his hatred for God, whatever God loved, whatever God made, he destroyed, did his best to destroy. If this is true, there's a lot we don't know about. And I'll just throw it out there, see what you think. We may find archaeological and geological evidence of things that predate Adam that we don't know about and the Bible does not explain to us. Now, later in Genesis, and I don't know if we'll ever talk about this, but it talks about giants on the earth, calls them sons of God. And there was a time where the sons of God started marrying the daughters of men, and God had to interrupt that. What the heck is this sons of God? What are they? And as best we can tell, they are beings that seem to be both of a heavenly realm and an earthly realm, or something that may have been around before Adam. They were different. Am I blowing anybody's mind? Maybe you've heard these things before, so I'm not. And probably next week, we're going to talk about Adam. Adam is unique. He's different from everything created before. Adam created in the image of God. And nothing that was created before, whatever there would be, and however similar it might have been, or they might have been to us, they are not us, not created in the image of God. And you'll find scriptures that talk about angels are marveling. Why did you create man, Adam? And I think we'll see, I don't know how deep we'll get to go, but that Adam and mankind, we are of an order of creation higher than anything God's created previously. Oh, we are a privileged people. And something about it, we'll have to explore this maybe next week. Being created in the image of God, God put in us characteristics and abilities that are like Him. We can do some things that He does that other parts of creation, including angels and Lucifer, cannot do. It's amazing. It's truly amazing. Well, what happened on earth to bring tohu and bohu? Satan cast down to earth, cast down to the pit, and he destroyed. If you look at what science says about dinosaurs and mass extinctions and things like that, you know, they say meteor strikes. It just seems to me that Satan cast to the earth would look pretty much like a meteor strike on the earth and would bring mass extinction. Well, there's been lots of meteor strikes. Well, one third of heaven fell with him. Now, I can't prove these things, but there's suggestions of it in the scriptures. And I'm perfectly content to trust him with the explanation of it all. And why am I doing this? Why am I upsetting perhaps theology of thousands of years here or hundreds of years? Because I think the traditional explanation of creation, we've painted ourselves into a corner, and now there's evidence and people who say, you got to be wrong about this. Maybe what we've thought is true is not true according to the Bible, not the way we have understood it. And God did create earth millions of years ago, and the processes that he put in place. Like we can see the Atlantic Ocean, Europe, and the North American continent are spreading apart. Anybody remember, is it an inch and something a year? Well, it's a slow process. And they'll tell us that at one point in time, Europe and America touched, and Africa and all of that all touched, and they've drifted apart. Well, if at an inch a year, the distance across the Atlantic Ocean, it'll take a while, more than 6,000 years to do that. So you have to either throw it to one side or the other. God did it all as is a short time ago, or all these things have been in process for a long time. Well, if you're forced into stating that creation happened 6,000 years ago, then there's a dilemma. But if the original creation in the beginning was much longer ago than that, there is no dilemma. And I'm not just trying to avoid a fight. I'm looking for what does the Bible say? And a real important point on Bible interpretation, be very clear on what it actually says, not what you think it says. What your mama said, it said. All of our upbringings kind of frame how we approach the Bible and see it. But what does it literally actually say? And stay with that. And if it doesn't give a full answer, there's not a full answer to be had. And I trust him enough to say, I don't need to know that. I know you created all of this probably millions of years ago, and that's good enough for me. We can find fossils and people date them at millions of years old. Is that possible? To me, absolutely. So, what happened on earth? Satan was cast to the earth. When he did, he unleashed darkness and chaos upon the earth. Everything that God had previously created was good. And so in our six-day creation process that we have in our Bibles, verses 3 through 31 there, I submit to you for your own consideration that it probably was the recreation of earth. The reordering of what he originally created became chaotic and a wasteland, and God renewed it. If you dig a little further in this, you'll find that Lucifer was in Eden, the garden of God. And it talked about his role, how he served God, till iniquity was found in him. And then he was cast out of Eden, the garden of God. And it seems to me that that Eden that Lucifer was cast out of, I think it was on the earth. And when we find Adam created, God placed him where? In Eden, in the garden. And we know when Adam and Eve slipped up, they had to be put outside the garden. So the garden had boundaries on the earth. It was a defined space. And lest Adam and Eve get back in and eat of the tree of the knowledge of life in the condition they were in, an angel was put at the gate with a flaming sword going this way and that way. So even at the time of Adam, Adam had to be put out of Eden. Eden was a defined space. Outside of Eden, he had to work for his living. Outside of Eden, Eve would have pain in childbirth. He was told to tend the garden and to keep it. You look up the word, it's to protect the garden. Well, protect it from what? Protect it from who? So apparently, outside, at the time of Adam being created, outside the garden, there were threats on the earth present that Adam was in a place protected from, and he was given lordship in Eden to protect from intrusion into Eden. I believe that what was intended by God was that Adam and Eve would begin to populate the earth, and as they, sons and daughters of God, speaking his word in right relationship with him, would expand Eden to cover the earth and cast out all threat that was out there. Amen. It could be that Lucifer in Eden cast outside, and that chaos God was reordering, but remnants of that chaos are going to be wherever Lucifer is. Wherever he is, he brings darkness and he brings chaos and he brings confusion. And God's people dispel that and drive that back. So that was Adam's job, to populate the earth. Maybe we'll look at this. The word actually was repopulate the earth in the original language. Now, isn't that a concept? God created everything, and he created it good. And wherever Lucifer is, he brings chaos and destruction. Probably back then, God began to reorder. Adam is a new kind of creature with the ability to create and bring light. And we are sons and daughters of Adam and the second Adam, Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, all of Adam's attributes are restored to us. In case you didn't know that. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, some amazing stuff, isn't it? Yeah, it truly is some amazing stuff. It begins to explain some things, but it causes more questions in me and probably you as well. So the next time you have somebody telling you, you believe in creation? Are you nuts? Yeah, I believe in creation millions of years ago. It was what you all call a big bang. And I can tell you what the big bang was. God spoke. Amen. That's what happened. Praise the Lord. Well, we'll stop there for today. Father, we just bless you and thank you for your word. Father, our curiosity exceeds our knowledge. And we thank you for teaching us. And we thank you for a time and opportunity coming up where we're going to learn everything that we need to know, everything that we want to know. Won't be in this life. It'll be as we are in the presence of the Lord firsthand. So, Father, we just thank you for that, looking forward to that. And we thank you for bringing us what we need to be in awe and wonderment of an amazing God. And we thank you for all these things today. In Jesus' name, amen.